You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and insightful daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and refined product markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the U.S. energy landscape.
Tuesday, March 31st, 2026. Turn Me Loose, Where Western Canadian Crude Oil Goes and How It Gets There. Published by Mike Dunn. End markets for Canadian crude oil have evolved as production and export capacity have grown, especially in the past few years as more Western Canadian crude has moved off the continent. In today's RBN blog, the fourth in a series, we'll dig deep into the data to see exactly where Western Canadian Sedimentary Basin, or WCSB, crude oil supply goes, how it gets there, and how those destination markets have evolved over time. What we'll present is not the typical assessment you'll see elsewhere that cites commonly referenced statistics. Instead, we've waded through several data sources to piece together a more accurate analysis of where these barrels ultimately end up, adjusting for nuances that are often overlooked. We'll also distinguish between where the heavy and lighter barrels go. This will establish a baseline so that in future blogs we can look at how each of the proposed WCSB export capacity growth options might impact market dynamics, which is especially topical these days given how the turmoil in the Middle East is disrupting global crude oil flows. Canadian crude oil has been a popular topic in the RBN blogosphere since the beginning of the year. In part one of this series, we discuss the drivers behind WCSB crude oil production nearly doubling from 2010 to 2025, as well as its seasonal trends. In part two, we reviewed the major pipeline projects that expanded capacity to move barrels out of the WCSB, how the timing of those projects matched up with supply growth and current export pipeline capacity. In part three, we examined how WCSB crude oil price discounts are impacted by pipeline scarcity and production seasonality. Join our free webinar at 2 p.m. Central on Wednesday, April 1st, when we'll be discussing our new multi-client study, Roundabout Canada to Rockies Crude Flows Reshaping the PADD 4 Guernsey Market, which looks at potential options to expand pipeline egress through PADD 4. In today's blog, let's start by recapping the pipelines that move crude oil out of the WCSB, a region that spans west to east from northeastern British Columbia, or BC, through Alberta and Saskatchewan, to western Manitoba. You might want to take a look at Figure 1 in today's blog, which shows the main North American pipeline systems moving WCSB crude oil. The largest pipeline export conduit is the Enbridge Mainline, which moved about 3 million barrels per day of crude oil out of the WCSB in 2025, 70% heavy, of which approximately 2.4 million barrels per day went to the U.S. PADD 2, Midwest, and PADD 3, Gulf Coast markets, while the remainder was delivered back into Canada at the Ontario border to feed pipeline-connected refineries in Ontario, Quebec, and Pennsylvania. The second-largest export conduit is the Trans Mountain Pipeline System, which moved roughly 715,000 barrels per day of WCSB crude to Canada's west coast last year, of which 56% was heavy crude oil. 60,000 barrels per day of that was delivered into local markets in BC. 210,000 barrels per day went by pipeline into Washington state, and the remainder went offshore by tanker to Asia and PADD 5, U.S. West Coast. South Bow's Keystone Pipeline System, like the Enbridge Mainline, moves WCSB barrels east before crossing the U.S. border at North Dakota, 585,000 barrels per day in 2025, 99% heavy, for delivery into the crude oil hubs in Patoka, Illinois, and Cushing, Oklahoma, with many of those barrels then making their way to the Gulf Coast on South Bow's MarketLink system. Three pipeline systems move WCSB barrels south into Montana and beyond: the Enbridge-operated Express Pipeline, Interpipeline's Bow River-Milk River system, and, finally, Plains Rangeland Aurora system. Combined volumes on these three systems likely averaged around 360,000 to 380,000 barrels per day last year. Express is the largest of the three, averaging 263,000 barrels per day in the first 9 months of 2025, for delivery to PADD 4, Rockies, refineries, or into the Enbridge-operated Platte system at Casper, Wyoming. Bow River-Milk River connects at the border with CHS's Front Range system and averaged 88,000 barrels per day at the U.S. border for the first 9 months of 2025. Rangeland Aurora delivers into the Phillips 66-operated Glacier system. Its typical flows are 20,000 to 25,000 barrels per day at the border. Volumes on these latter two systems predominantly end up at Montana refineries. As we discuss in Roundabout Canada to Rockies Crude Flows Reshaping the PADD 4 Guernsey Market, you should expect more WCSB barrels to be moving into Montana and through the PADD 4 corridor in the coming years, as production grows and industry seeks to optimize underutilized pipeline assets to move more WCSB barrels to the world's largest heavy oil market, the U.S. Gulf Coast. In Bring Me to Life, we discussed one of these options, the Bridger Pipeline Expansion, which proposes expanding the Bridger system to the same U.S. border point where the partially built Canadian portion of South Bow's cancelled Keystone XL pipeline terminates. Lastly, crude oil sent by rail from the WCSB to the U.S. averaged approximately 80,000 barrels per day last year, all heavy, down from a peak of nearly 300,000 barrels per day in 2019 when the WCSB was short pipeline capacity. Adding everything up, total outbound WCSB crude oil volumes averaged 4.8 million barrels per day last year. The 5.4 million barrels per day of WCSB crude supply last year, approximately two-thirds heavy, came from 5.1 million barrels per day of production and 0.3 million barrels per day of imports. This left 0.6 million barrels per day of net supply remaining in the WCSB, of which 0.7 million barrels per day was refinery runs, which we'll call WCSB use. Volumes on the Enbridge mainline have expanded significantly since 2010, as the mainline provided almost all the incremental pipeline egress capacity out of the WCSB from 2011 until Trans Mountain volumes jumped following startup of its 590,000 barrels per day expansion, or TMX, in 2024. Exports on Keystone and the three pipeline systems that cross the Montana border have not been major drivers of export growth since Keystone started up and expanded in 2010 to 2011. And crude by rail exports have dropped by more than 75% from their 2019 peak. Now let's look at where these barrels ultimately end up. Note that we are not merely regurgitating easily accessible U.S. Energy Information Administration, or EIA, data for Canadian crude imports by region, as those figures do not account for. Number 1. Barrels coming from the WCSB versus Eastern Canada. Number 2. The vast majority of the Canadian barrels reported by the EIA as imports into Oklahoma, a PADD 2 state, 445,000 barrels per day in 2025, are ultimately delivered to the Gulf Coast, PADD 3. Number 3. WCSB crude oil that is re-exported offshore out of the Gulf Coast. Exports to other parts of Canada outside the WCSB, specifically Eastern Canada and the British Columbia Lower Mainland, have nearly doubled since 2010 to almost 600,000 barrels per day in 2025, thanks to the reversal of Enbridge's Line 9 pipeline in Eastern Canada last decade, and the startup of TMX in 2024. Exports to PADD 1, East Coast, at less than 100,000 barrels per day in 2025, 1% of WCSB supply, are not material. WCSB exports to PADD 2 have also nearly doubled since 2010, to 2.3 million barrels per day, versus the EIA's 2.8 million barrels per day estimate of PADD 2 imports from Canada. Despite that growth, PADD 2's share of the market for WCSB crudes has fallen over the years, from a peak of 51% in 2013 to 43% in 2025, thanks to pipeline capacity growth to other markets, primarily the addition of over 1 million barrels per day of capacity from PADD 2 to the Gulf Coast in 2014, and the Line 9 reversal. WCSB exports to PADD 3 averaged just under 700,000 barrels per day last year, or 12% of WCSB supply. This compares to the EIA's estimate of just over 400,000 barrels per day for PADD 3 imports from Canada. While up over 500,000 barrels per day compared to 2010, they were down over 100,000 barrels per day from the 2024 peak due to growing WCSB deliveries to the West Coast on Trans Mountain. Exports to PADD 4, at 268,000 barrels per day in 2025, or 5% of WCSB supply, have remained fairly stable for the past decade. Exports to PADD 5, at 370,000 barrels per day in 2025, or 7% of WCSB supply, saw a big jump in 2024 with the TMX startup but were roughly flat in 2025, as a greater proportion of flows out of the marine terminal went to Asia. WCSB offshore exports to other countries, at approximately 430,000 barrels per day in 2025, were up by nearly 180,000 barrels per day year over year, benefiting from a full year of TMX operations. As mentioned earlier, WCSB crude oil deliveries to the U.S. by rail averaged around 80,000 barrels per day last year, down from a peak of nearly 300,000 barrels per day in 2019. Today, most of those barrels go to PADD 3, 70,000 barrels per day in 2025, and, to a lesser extent, PADD 5, 12,000 barrels per day in 2025, although at the 2019 peak, nearly 30% of crude by rail exports went to pads 1 and 2. WCSB heavy barrels predominantly go to pad 2, pad 3, and increasingly overseas markets, while lighter WCSB barrels are largely processed in Canada and pad 2. Even though pad 3 has nearly 3 times the coking capacity of pad 2, pad 2 took nearly 3 times as much WCSB heavy crude last year. Figure 5 takes a closer look at where WCSB export volumes off the continent are going, aggregating data for Western Canadian exports and Gulf Coast re-exports. Offshore volumes started becoming material in 2020 as Gulf Coast re-exports ramped up, while shipments from the BC coast skyrocketed following the mid-2024 TMX startup. China is by far the largest buyer, taking nearly 200,000 barrels per day last year. China was the dominant buyer of Gulf Coast re-export volumes prior to the TMX startup, but those purchases fell to zero shortly after the expansion began flowing. India bought approximately 84,000 barrels per day last year. Except for a few tankers from the Port of Vancouver in 2024, all of India's WCSB crude oil purchases in recent years have come via the Gulf Coast, with volumes increasing after Chinese purchases fell in mid-2024. Spain was the third largest offshore purchaser of WCSB crude last year, at roughly 48,000 barrels per day. Those volumes come exclusively from Gulf Coast re-exports. Hong Kong, Singapore, and South Korea all increased their WCSB purchases in 2025, enabled by increased deliveries on TMX to the BC coast. WCSB deliveries to other countries averaged 10,000 barrels per day last year. We've seen how WCSB crude oil supply has grown along with pipeline egress capacity over the past couple of decades, but up until a few years ago, exports off the continent were rare, so growing output predominantly found its home in the U.S. Recent years have seen growth in WCSB exports to overseas markets, first out of the Gulf Coast, and more recently off BC, with off-continent exports accounting for 10% of WCSB exports outside of Canada in 2025, diverting flows that would have otherwise ended up along the Gulf Coast. Despite growing WCSB heavy crude supply, deliveries to the world's largest heavy crude market, the Gulf Coast, have hardly grown in the past decade. In our next blog in this series, we'll look at the pipeline projects being proposed to expand egress out of the WCSB. Later on in this series, we'll present our crude production growth forecasts and compare projected crude supply against expected pipeline capacity growth to see whether the WCSB might be at risk of once again being short pipe in the next few years. Turn Me Loose was written by Paul Dean and Mike Reno and appears as the second song on side one of Loverboy's eponymous debut studio album. The song is built around a bass riff and features crunchy guitar by Paul Dean and the plaintive vocals of Mike Reno. Released as the first single from the album in February 1981, it went to number 6 on the Billboard Pop Rock Tracks chart and number 35 on the Billboard Hot 100 singles. Personnel on the record were Mike Reno, lead vocals, Paul Dean, guitars, backing vocals, Scott Smith bass, Doug Johnson, keyboards, Matt Furnett, drums, and Nancy Nash and Katie Kassoon, backing vocals. The album, Loverboy, was recorded in 1979-80 at Little Mountain Sound in Vancouver and produced by Bruce Fairbairn. Released in the U.S. in November 1980, it went to number 13 on the Billboard 200 albums chart and has been certified 2X Platinum by the Recording Industry Association of America. Three singles were released from the LP. Loverboy is a Canadian hard rock band formed in Calgary, Alberta, in 1979. After opening shows for major rock acts in Canada, the group was signed to a record deal with Columbia Records Canada in 1979 and released their debut album, Loverboy, in the U.S. in November 1980. They have released 9 studio albums, 4 live albums, 16 compilation albums, and 29 singles and have sold more than 15 million records worldwide. 7 members have passed through the band since its formation. Bassist Scott Smith was presumed dead after a large wave swept him off his boat near San Francisco in November 2000 at 45. His body has never been recovered. Bassist Jim Clench died in November 2010 in Montreal at 61. After a hiatus from 1989 to 1991, Loverboy continues to tour and will be appearing at various venues in the U.S. beginning in June.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.